Lock and load.
Nobody knew who the hell he was.
Or have lived in a Muslim-majority country. I know because I am one of them.
How's that hokey-cheesy stuff working out for you?
He's now our president. He's our president.
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
Taking back America, one listener at a time. This is the Bella D'Angelo Show.
Wow, 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 wow. Here we are again. We are ready to rock and roll. We got Bella back on here. She's been dealing with some severe issues going on with her Miss Yoga hot pants lately. So I, Joe Man Bun, as she likes to call me, has now become the research coordinator for the show. How you doing, Bella?
I am hanging in there.
Well, that is awesome. How's Miss Yoga hot pants?
Well, you said before we went on air that my head wasn't really quite here. It sounds weird in my ear, Dave. It's not that my head's not into it. It's just I can say this, and I was asked earlier. It just doesn't sound as normal as it's supposed to in my ear. But okay. Anyways, you know, yesterday I was asked to tell the story to as many people as possible as to what happened. And yesterday when I got to, so Yoga Hot Pants, we went in for our cardio appointment on Monday, and she was clear, she was stable, and her ultrasound looked great, and I was really excited and looking forward to where she was at. Tuesday I asked for a UTI to be run, and I was told it would get ordered. Wednesday I asked,
okay, slow down. For us laymen that are men that, you know, really
that sounds better.
Yeah, that really don't understand what that is. What is a UTI?
So a urinary tract infection. Okay. Have it tested. So I asked Tuesday. Wednesday they hadn't done it. They said that the doctor didn't see that there was enough reason. Now, here's something interesting. Because I am a very skilled advocate for my mom right now, I hope somebody listening takes something away from some of these short stories that I will be sharing. The interesting thing that I learned today, the reason they probably didn't run the test when I asked for it is they want medical assistance to pay for it. And if they didn't deem enough symptoms, then they didn't order the test. Even though she's got a history of it, that's why they didn't run the test.
So it comes down to the almighty dollar is what you're saying.
Exactly. So then Thursday I got there and she was obviously very tired and not herself. And then I was told, okay, they're going to run the UTI. They're going to do the X-ray. They're going to do a quick COVID, of course, and go to work. And they're going to call me and let me know what happened. And I said, is there any reason I'm not bringing her to North Memorial in Robbinsdale? And they said, no, we'll run all the tests. She's confused anyways, and we don't want to add to the confusion. So that's why I didn't bring her. But 4 o'clock, guys, no tests have been run, no answers given to me. She was warm to the touch, and the goddamn staff at Benedictine.
Oh, hang on.
New Britain.
Okay. Delayed reaction.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Hey, I'm slow on the uptake today.
Which button am I supposed to use to censor myself?
I think
it's
yeah, the lab.
Oh, there we
go. There we go. Well, I kind of felt good.
So I want to share some of the facilities you should not bring your loved ones to. Benedictine New Brighton was one of them because the staff came to me and they all told me, your mom's stats are fine, vitals are fine, and there's no reason to take her anywhere. She was warm to the touch and unresponsive. I had to shake her to get her to even look at me and to answer me. So
she was about, they're about as truthful and honest as Merrick Garland, the FBI raid on President Trump's place down in Mar-a-Lago. Is that what you're saying?
But this one's even more deadly because we're talking about 85-year-old Yoga Hot Pants. So within 2 hours, we're in the emergency room at North Memorial Robbinsdale, trauma one level care facility. Guys, septic, UTI, and 102 fever Thursday night.
Why? You know, I got to tell you guys, you know, I'm a veteran. I'm a disabled veteran. And I have to go to the VA, and everybody talks about, oh, yeah, socialized medicine. You know, look at how good the VA is run. I have to tell you, to be honest with you, the VA does a great job on an individual case basis, but on mass, it's no. And probably if we were dealing with a socialized medicine that, you know, the Democrats want to push, your mother might not be here.
My mother wouldn't be here if it weren't for me. And, you know, the care is only as good as the advocate that is watching over the person that is Absolutely. Needing the care. And my absolute disbelief when the whole nursing station. Now, yesterday morning when I got, so let me just fast forward. So we get in the emergency room, and for the first time ever, my mom actually looked terrified. And I can understand why, because she went into delirium of this sepsis, and they started antibiotics and fluids. Yesterday when I got to her, she was all pops and buzzards, and she was actually the clearest and happiest I've seen her. What?
Well, that's what my next question. So how is she doing? I mean, where we're at?
Now I don't know, because when I got to her today, she hadn't slept all night. She was, they had over-medicated her, of course, and the doctor came in about the noon hour, and that's when he wanted to give her a psychosis medication to calm her and to stop the restlessness. I said, absolutely not, and I looked at my mom, and I said, are you over-medicated? And she said, yes, and the doctor said, that's confusion, and I said, you know what? We're going to stop. We're not giving her anything. We're going to let her clear her system. And by this afternoon, she was coherently telling me she wants to go shopping at Chico's, even though she still is septic with the UTI. Her vitals are better, and all we can do is wait for better answers tomorrow and Monday. Now, I did have a phone call from a wonderful woman. Here's the missing piece: is I need someone helping me to wherever she's moving to, and we're considering North Dakota again. But Roxanne Kirchhoff is who talked to me yesterday, and I actually had my hand on the Bible, and when I was in the family lounge room, and as I was telling her this story, she stopped me and she said, I want to reach through the phone and hug you. And she says, you're making me cry telling me this story, because this is the fifth hospitalization, and three of them, the last three, were preventable by this these aides that just don't care. And so anyways, but she felt that God was actually in this conversation listening. And I'm really hoping that God still has his arms around all of this, because she's too precious and we got to get her back home. So.
Well, there you go. Hey, listen, everybody, we got a great show today. We got Cicely Davis on coming on in about 7 minutes. She won her primary against Royce White. He just smoked his butt. Unlike Ilhan Omar, who barely won her primary.
I think it wasn't only 2,000 votes.
2,000 votes is what Ilhan Omar. And then I'm watching the news a couple nights ago, local news, and her and Mayor Fry, Mayor McCheese,
The 12-year-old soy boy.
Yeah, 12-year-old soy boy from Virginia, or whatever they call that damn state. They're in a battle. They're each calling each other incompetent leadership for all the bad things that have happened in Minneapolis. Well, when you have two liberal Democrats calling each other incompetent, they're both incompetent. And so we're going to have Cicely Davis on. I just got back from Sturgis. That's if my voice sounds a little hoarse, I literally rode 610 miles straight.
I thought you were going to say something else.
Straight on my Harley from Sturgis. No, I did not ride a 600 pounder. You know, hey, do you know what?
Come on.
Hey, listen, riding a fat woman is like riding a moped. Nobody wants to see either one of them. Okay. Did I say that? Hold on. All right. So I just got back from Sturgis, and the absolute disgust and hatred for this regime that we have right now, this absolute dictatorial regime, you know, that figures they can order a raid on an ex-president. Nobody's ever done that.
For political theater optics. Hey, you know, so my mom has to have an aide sitting alongside of her 24/7 now. So at 3 o'clock, they switched regime, and there was a new aide. Her name is Tara. And we had Fox News on, of course, and it's talking about the raid and everything. And I told her that I had to leave to do this podcast and I'd be coming back. And she wanted to know what the podcast was about. And I said, conservative political talk radio. And I looked at her and I said, are you a Trump supporter? And she said, nope. And I said, Biden supporter? And she said, I got to be honest, I didn't vote for either one. And I said, what are you going to do in 2024? I said, she said, I don't think we had a good option, either one. And she said, I feel like the people that voted for Biden because he was vice president alongside Barack Obama, and that's why they gave him the opportunity. And she said, being vice president isn't the same as being president. And I said, well, if I'm assuming you would lean towards being a Biden supporter. And she said, well, a Democrat. And I said, so if you look at these last 2 years compared to the previous four, how would you say our economy and the country is doing? And she said, oh my God, horrible.
But yet she'll vote for it again. And, you know, that's the level of stupidity that's going on out there.
I didn't get that from her because I said, let's take one key big difference. Energy independence and complete fight against drilling and energy here in the nation. And I said, do you know the big difference as to why we're five? And she said, oh my God, it's $9 a gallon at California. But this is what I've always been saying is, even common sense people that aren't voting are pissed and are paying attention and are understanding the difference between the last four and this two. And before you jump to the next one, I said, do you feel that Biden has any cognitive competency? If you lean towards a Democrat and you look at Biden as a leader, do you see any cognitive confidence when you listen to him? And she said, absolutely no.
Well, today, I did my weekly chore of going grocery shopping, and I bought $117 worth of groceries. That filled up
two and a half
bags of groceries, but the bags weren't even full. They were paper bags. They were half full because I don't like to fill those always in because they always break my arms when I'm walking out trying to get my damn keys, which are always in the wrong pocket, to get them out. So then half my groceries end up on the ground, but that's a whole nother story. And usually the dog is waiting there to grab the best things. So out of $117, I bought a ribeye steak for $11, and that was on sale. And I don't buy anything special. I'm not one of those guys that, you know, hey, I got to have the best of the best. But I do like to eat. And at $117, I'm sitting there going, oh, you got to be freaking kidding me. And this guy's sitting there going, yeah, we had 0% inflation last month. What the hell are you talking about? Hey, how about we send this guy over to your doctor and they can give him some of these anti-freaking confusion drugs. Hold on. Fucking confusion drugs. Because this guy is, it's not only that he's incompetent and delusional, he's just not there, not aware. And when I was out in Sturgis, the level of acrimony and the level of hatred generated, guys are riding up and down the street with big flags that say,
F
Biden, you know? And everywhere. It's on their streets. It's on their street signs everywhere. I mean, literally, if Biden was to show up in Sturgis, I don't think he would make it out. You know, I really don't. And then you got Liz Cheney. Yeah, lucky Liz. We got, what, 2.5 more days of that psychotic, you know. Nobody liked Dick Cheney anyway. There's a reason why his first name is Dick. sorry about that. A little bit late. You know.
Well, all of this is leading up to what I've been talking about for a very long time. And that's why I believe that people like, and the primary in Minnesota, now I'm trying to understand because I know that Jensen did very well.
Yes, he did.
I know that a lot of some of the races of these non-establishment people, like, how did my lures go? Do you know?
Everybody we wanted to win won.
And what does that say about Minnesota?
Well, it says that we are purple leaning red. And, oh, look at this. We got Cicely going. All right, here we go. All right, I got to bring this phone up. I'm going to make sure. Hey, Cicely, do we got you?
Yep.
All right, hold on. I got my engineer on. I want to make sure. Go ahead and make sure that I'm doing this right because I've screwed this up a few times.
Okay.
All right. Hey. First of all, foremost, I want to congratulate you on that monumental victory over Royce. Royce was a great guy and everything, but he should have never taken the primary. He should have accepted his defeat graciously at the Republican convention. He did not, and now he has to face the consequences of that. I really want to say outstanding job, and I am so looking forward to being at your swearing-in in Washington, D.C. in January.
Wonderful. Thank you, Joe. And I know that at CD5 convention, there were some really great whips like yourself that helped out a lot. So thank you.
Well, you know, it's, listen, Ilhan Omar is, she's got problems even with Mayor Fry, Mayor McCheese, the little golden boy from Virginia. Now they're both accusing each other of incompetent leadership. And right. I want to know, what is your message to the city of Minneapolis? It says, I am going to be this person that's going to reunite. I am going to be reunite the city, and I've got the leadership skills that says this is what I'm going to do.
Right, absolutely. Yep.
So tell me, what do you got? What have you got? Tell me what is your message? Farce.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay? I thought this was a pre-interview. I thought we were just small talking. I apologize. So
no, you're online, babe.
Okay, we're on. We're live. Yeah. So thank you for that. And you know what? I think that you just mentioned it. You just talked about it. You referred to it. Division. That.
I lost her.
This of Ilhan Omar's leadership since she was elected was dividing, divide and conquer. It's keep people angry. Keep poking at gaslighting issues, keeping people hot under the collar. And so that they're not paying attention to what's actually going on, which is a whole lot of nothing. What we've been experiencing and what we've been suffering under is a lot of political hot air. But there is no substance there. This is a nothing burger with a, you know, with an air bun, right? There's nothing that has really helped out. In fact, since Ilhan Omar has been the congressional leader of this district, our district has gotten worse. We have 40-year high inflation. Businesses have been driven out and with no promise to return. Families are stressed out. Household debt is increased. Okay, so we're talking about people who actually punch clocks. Okay, people who have to decide, okay, I get paid on Friday. It's Monday. I need to get to the end of the week. So I think what I'll do is, because gas prices are so high, I'll buy 2 bags of groceries instead of 4, and then I'll put the rest in the gas tank to make it last until Friday, until I get my next paycheck. That's where we are. And then with education, we are stressed out, and we are not any better for her being our congressional leader. And it's just time for something different.
Okay, so you being a black woman, and a very beautiful black woman, I might say. By the way, do you have a sister? here's what I wanted to ask you about was, how do you feel about critical race theory that is being pushed upon our schools?
Yeah. So critical race theory, as you know, is basically, in my opinion, what it's teaching is division. Again, it is remnants. It's taken as if everything that we have in our society, as by way of being pushed on children, especially in K through 12 education, as if it's everything in America that exists, whether it's education or any interaction, is a remnant of the Jim Crow era, right? And so we have an ideology that tears at the very root and the very ideal of the American experiment. And so you have something that's very detrimental that literally tells children, now imagine this, if you're white, you are an oppressor, okay? And that you're inherently an oppressor, and there's nothing you can do to ever overcome that. And so you see people of color, particularly black people, as inferior, and that they honestly need white people in order to, you know, get their fair share. If you're black, you are then the oppressed, and they're fed this ridiculous notion that white privilege exists to simply hold the black person down. And the only way to overcome that is to have this existed position. So think about this. Imagine, let me put it to you this way. If you are a mixed race child, let's say you have a black father and a white mother. Imagine the confusion of a mixed race child if they're told in school that their mother, who is white, is an oppressor and dad is oppressed. So what does that make me in the middle here? You know, this is detrimental. And all it is divisiveness. It's all a way to keep people divided so that they can conquer. And the whole point of that division is to create an elite class, right? So as long as we keep people divided, we can block truth, we create an elite class, and we can then get in and conquer. And then therefore, we become your definers. We'll define gender, we'll define religion, we'll become your religion, we'll tell you how to live, we'll tell you how to think, we'll tell you how to behave, and we'll create this ridiculous utopia that erases family, erases faith, and erases unity within the races. And that, of course, being America being the melting pot, tears that American idealism. And that's the whole point of it, is to divide and conquer and erase the fundamental constructs of America.
Cicely, Bella here. I wanted to jump in. There's a lot of people that maybe don't know much about you and your background. Mm-hmm. That's why I like people to get to know you. So what's your background?
Sure.
Why did you get involved? You were a former Democrat, correct?
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
So let's start with, where was that moment of truth where you started to, the last show that we did, we mm-hmm. had a gal that came on that was a lifelong Democrat. She voted mm-hmm. for Biden in 2020. And before he was even inaugurated, she had formed a group, and it was to protest a lot of the COVID restrictions, and found herself talking to a lot of conservatives, and then realized that she probably had a lot of conservative values, and now she deems herself a conservative and is even wanting to vote for Trump in 2024. So share your story, because much like your story and so many other people that I'm listening to, including Little Yoga Hot Pants, the light bulb is turning on to so many people, including, I believe, the people that you're talking out is your door knocking. Mm-hmm. So what was it that made you switch parties, and when did the light bulb go on, and how did you get involved in this campaign?
Yeah. So as you said, I was raised, to vote Democrat and wasn't given a choice. And so I was taught a set of values. As I became older, I recognized that every 2 to 4 years when it's time to vote, I was going into the booth voting against my values. And so, for instance, my take on life, right? But then every 2-4 years, I would vote against life, right? And so that started happening during Bush W. And so once that happened, I actually at the same time volunteered at the St. Cloud VA. And when I spent time with our veterans and I recognized and listened through their stories and through their experiences, what the American experiment was all about, truly all about, from people who actually lived it, who would lay down their life and shed blood without hesitation, I recognized that, you know what, I am hopefully and wonderfully conservative Republican. My values have always been that way. And so I just need to embrace it. And so that's what happened with me.
Well,
Go ahead.
As a disabled veteran, it's my firm belief that there are only two people willing to give there were only two people in the history of mankind that were willing to give their life for you as an American. One mm-hmm. is the American soldier, the other was Jesus Christ. And
Right. So
I respect that more than anything else going on out there. Now, that being said, I just had, now here's an uphill battle that we all know is going on. There's 63% of this of Minneapolis, your district that you're fighting for is mm-hmm. Democrats. Okay. Now here's what I just ran into. I had to take a Uber cab from my truck repair shop, and it was driven by a young Somali man, second generation. And he instantly got into a conversation about politics, and he was a very intelligent man. And he said, they don't understand where Ilhan Omar is coming from, because he said that Somalis are typically conservative. And I said, okay, well, did you vote last election? No, because we typically don't get involved. We stay in the middle of the road. I said, well, are you happy with what's going on? He said, but hell no. We've got a fentanyl problem raging through the Somali community. And I said, so what are you doing to stop it? Well, I don't know what to do. I said, how about exercising your most beautiful fundamental right you have called voting. Well, what is that going to change? Getting people in the office that's going to secure the border and eliminating, you know, this fentanyl scourge. So here is your problem here. How are you going to get these young, which we have a huge Somali community, how are we going to get these people out to vote? It's obviously they're very disappointed with Ilhan Omar because she was booed off the frickin' stage. So how are you going to get them out to vote?
Yeah, good question. This is an excellent question because what we need is for Republicans to show up. They need to show up often and they need to show up consistently. They need to build those relationships and they need to maintain them. Why is that important? Because not only does it show concern, but it shows that, you know, that relationship is actually wanted. It also builds trust. Once a community understands that the party actually cares for them and not just shopping around for votes, they pay in. They pay in by way of building relationships and introducing others and building bridges. They also show up and vote because everyone loves to vote their interest. If they don't believe that a representative actually cares about their interests, they'll just simply not participate, even to their own demise. Now, that's hard for me to accept, but that's just truth. How do I know that? Because I was Democrat. And I'm telling you, most Democrats, the ones who don't vote, they simply don't vote because they don't believe that change is possible. They don't believe change is possible because they don't know who represents them on the other side. So that's how we do it. We show up. And that's being done, by the way. We have made connections with the imams, as I said in the last interview here, that we've made connections with the imams. We're spending time now with Somali women. That is really important. Somali women have a greater role than what we thought. They have a great voice. They have leadership. They're the ones that actually run the businesses, and they have the opinions. And so they're the ones who the imams know that they need to please in order to rock that vote. So spending time, showing up, being consistent, building relationships, and maintaining them is key.
So Bella and I were talking earlier today about what was going on with, you know, Mayor McCheese and Walls, and that's a part of the election. And now we got Liz Cheney on a national level. What is your opinion about what happened at Mar-a-Lago with Merrick Garland weaponizing the DOJ against President Donald John Trump?
Yeah. So number one, I just want to make this statement. This is an existential threat to the fundamentals, the founding of our country. If you are watching, regardless of how you identify politically, watching what's unfolding by our abbreviated agencies, we should all be afraid. If you're not afraid, then you're just not alive. And this is not a partisan issue. If they can do this to a former president, who, by the way, was just willing to give over anything had they just simply asked, then we shall, as regular average Americans, we should absolutely all be afraid. They are sending a very clear message that if you don't agree with us, if you are outside of the opinion or who we approve of, if you're outside of that, you're in trouble. And so we should all be afraid. We should absolutely be appalled. The politicization of our abbreviated agencies in this country right now is another thing that we should be appalled and afraid of.
Absolutely. They're talking about hiring 87,000 freaking IRS agents, and they're saying, oh, we're not going to come after anybody who makes less than $400,000. My ass.
Right.
Well, to my understanding, hang on 1 second, Cicely. To my understanding, this is just a big political theater. I mean, there's nothing actually there. This is just another Russia collusion, right? This is just nothing. They're trying to portray Donald J. Trump as if he's actually committed some type of crime, but we're wiser and understand. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I've been buried in the hospital for the last couple of days, but this is just political theater, right? To try and create the image as if he has done something criminal as we're leading closer and closer to November. I mean, I just was watching the bylines today, sitting in the ICU unit with my mom, that they're asking Donald Trump to announce sooner that he's running in 2024. And I believe that this is going to just build more support for him.
I do too. Here's the thing. every day that goes by and the FBI and Merrick Garland don't release what they went after and hauled out of there,
they don't have anything.
Then they're being made to look like complete freaking idiots. Am I correct on this?
Absolutely. This is like I agree with Bella, political kangaroo theater, right? We saw the same thing with the Russia collusion, right? Create the image as if something's going on. We don't hear from anyone. He comes out, gives us a 4-minute, 40-second statement, takes no questions, is as vague as you can possibly be. They actually raided and looked at the first lady's clothes. What were they expecting to find in her clothes, in her pockets? And this is ridiculous. And so we should absolutely all be appalled. We should be afraid.
I don't know. Her designer, yeah. Maybe they're looking for Melania's designer to do something to old Jill. I don't know. I just, here's the thing. They're desperate. They got nothing. They've learned nothing. They think that pulling another Russia collusion, you know, Mar-a-Largo invasion is somehow going to turn the public away from Trump because they know he's going to announce that he's running. They know that, I mean, the Democrat Party is begging and pleading for Biden to announce that he's not running, and yet they don't have anybody. And the only ones that they're actually talking about for 2024 up against Trump, I believe, is still Hildebeest and
Gavin Newsom,
who isn't going to get anywhere. I mean, that's
so you know, speaking of that, did you see the support party going on at Mar-a-Lago today?
It's the support has grown. And I think they, I agree with both of you, the Democrats have overplayed their hand here. And all they've done is, you know, poke a political bear that, see, Trump only becomes more emboldened. He actually, this only excites him, and it only riles up and excites the base, right? So had they just left things alone and tried to actually work on their ineptitude as leaders and this administration, you know, work on inflation, you know, deal with the fact that Joe Biden has the poorest approval rating in in presidential history.
I think it's even worse than Johnson in 1865. Yeah,
there were other things they could have done to, you know, win over the favor and get back in the good graces of the American people versus another witch hunt. So they have two cards that they play consistently. That is the race card and the witch hunt. And they've definitely overplayed their hand. I think that they're going to severely pay the price at the polls this coming November. And again, they've only excited Trump and amped him up versus the other outcome to which they think they were hoping for. But
well,
it's only
not only are the Democrats paying the price at the polls coming this November. We got rhinos that are paying the price, and thank God. And, you know, they overplayed their hand, the race card and the everything else, about as good as that dude, Brittany Griner, you know, and somebody, if she's not a dude, prove me wrong. All right. I heard her talk and she's got a deeper voice than me. All right. So that being said, one of the issues that you're facing here though, and this is one that is going to be tough. Is that they're building a lot of housing outside of the ring. And I've been saying to myself.
Housing outside of what?
Outside of the ring, the 694-94 ring, 494
ring. We've jumped back to local, okay.
Okay, so we're back on local. You know me. I flop around a lot like a crappie. So you got all this brand new housing being built outside of the ring. And I was sitting there going, who is buying all this housing outside of the ring? And then it dawned on me. I go through South Minneapolis, and that place is turning into a ghost town. It's got for sale signs everywhere. So how do we stop the flood, the exodus? What do we do?
Yeah, so that's part of why I'm running. Again, we address this issue of inflation, number one. I think that, number one would be addressing safety, right? No business and no resident wants to live here if Minneapolis, if CD5 is not a safe place to live, to work, or to visit. We deal with that, number one. Number two, we reverse the ruinous financial decisions that were made Okay, let's remind everyone that inflation was at 1.2% when Donald Trump was in office. 1.2%. Why is that important? Because businesses felt confident. They felt confident to hire, to expand, and they felt confident to contribute to the communities to which they existed. And so that was good for employees. That was great for the community. It's great for our economy. And it's good for our treasury. And so when you have people leaving, what we're going to get, if that continues, we're going to look like Chicago. We're going to look like Detroit. We're going to look like Philadelphia. You know what? No, thank you. I am proud of Minneapolis because we've always been innovative, forward thinking, strong business minds. We had, especially our tech, community. But if we have to, so we have to change those kind of, we also need to address the, how businesses are inundated with red tape bureaucracy when it comes to, regulation. We got to get the government's foot off businesses' necks so that they are able to conduct themselves and grow in business. So we need to get businesses back thriving. But the only way to do that is we address crime first. We got to address crime. Then we deal with economic decisions. That's the only way to turn this thing around. And it saddens. It really, truly saddens me. If we get to a point where we allow Ilhan Omar to serve another term, I'm telling you, we're not far away from a Detroit or a Chicago or a Philadelphia. And I think that in itself would be really difficult to turn around.
I think that I think a couple of things. I still hold my optimism that I have had, and I don't think it's an unrealistic optimism. You know, I do want to ask a question about what bill you'll write when elected, but I first want to, you know, my thing is I talk to a lot of people, and even today in the IC unit, you know, the first nurse that I visited with that's. My mom needs some babysitting. She's a little busybody. And the first one that I was talking to, we were watching Fox, and I just happened to say, are you a Trump supporter? And she said, yes. She said, my entire family is. And she said, I really hesitate to say things like that. And, you know, as I was sharing earlier in the show, the other gal that may not be a Trump, she's definitely not a Trump supporter, but she's not a Biden supporter. But, you know, it lends itself to these everyday people that aren't normally paying attention to politics. The one gal said that she did vote, the other one said that she didn't. But it's building on the conversation that we've had so many times on this show. Everyday Americans that don't normally think or worry are thinking and worrying. And before I get to that question about the first bill, I want to hear, what are you hearing when you're out knocking on doors and you're at your rallies? Because for the longest time, I had a call just a couple weeks ago from a good friend of mine from the oil field, and he specifically asked about this race and how can we unseat Ilhan Omar, because forever it has been the belief that we can't get her out of that position. So what are you hearing, and what is your confidence in winning this election?
Well, you know, what I'm hearing when I knock on doors is that I don't feel safe. Number one, first thing is that, you know, the crime has been a real challenge. You know, my child is playing out front, I sit near the window to watch them. I certainly don't allow them to play in their own yards after the sun goes down. You know, I don't go out without friends. I refuse to go downtown Minneapolis. Okay.
That's the first thing we're hearing.
Yep. And it is a ghost town. I live downtown Minneapolis, and I'm telling you, I'm amazed at how on a Friday night, I'm able to walk into the middle of a street and stand there for a good 15 seconds without a car coming at me. That's crazy in comparison to what it used to be. I'm also hearing that we are politically fatigued, and what they mean by that, and that's the term I give, but what they say to me is I'm so tired of the divisiveness between the two parties and the fighting that has gone on. So that tells me that people just want solid answers, and they don't want to be pulled one way or the other. They just want leaders who are going to stand in, champion what the district actually wants, cares about the constituency, and offer real solutions to the issues, so that they can have their cities be safe again so that they can have a future and leave a legacy for the next generation.
You know why they're able to answer those questions back to you with such common sense requests from their leaders? It's because so many of these people, if you think about it, at Trump's rallies and when Trump was president, you may not have supported or voted for Trump, but you heard a different leader. You heard common sense answers talking to us as if we are real people and not speaking the typical bloviated establishment political bullshit that they are now. It's too late, Joe. Sorry. I mean, people don't want it anymore, Cicely. And you know that because you're hearing it. And that's why it's so refreshing when we have somebody like you that is gaining this type of attention, which speaks volumes to the race that you're in, because we are getting ready to really be in a position where we, instead of just rhetoric and saying, oh, if you elect me, I can make these changes. Nationally, it's having the same effect because people are fed up and tired. We're not getting the answers from not only Biden, but our state representatives, our governors, and everyday Americans are seeing it because we're a different society. And there isn't anywhere that you go right now that you aren't facing and seeing right in front of your face the effects of this failed, impotent, purposeful administration from a national and a state level. And it's really great to hear the things that you're hearing. Is there anything else that they're bringing forward to you that is kind of surprising and specifically coming from, say, Democrats?
Yeah. What they're saying is that as a Democrat, I voted for the first time for Republican. I have screenshots. I wish I could show you how many screenshots I got on the night of primary who said, hey, I'm a longtime Democrat. Here's me voting for you. I voted Republican for the first time. And it isn't so much that it was about supporting me because they're Democrats. This is about understanding that we need actual policies that work for us. We're tired of the divisiveness.
I don't even think it's about you being a Republican. I think it's I think it's all about you having freaking, like Bella said, common freaking sense.
Absolutely. And so when I am in a conversation with Democrats and they say, oh, well, I can't vote Republican. I just can't. And I say, you know what? Then don't. Well, what do you mean? You're a Republican. Right. But doesn't have to be a partisan election right now. Here's what I'm saying to everyone who's Democrat. If you voted for me on this past Tuesday, you should do it again in November. And the why you should do it in November is because, number one, you have a failing congressional leader. Number two, if you voted for me, guess what? You're still a Democrat. What we're trying to do is get rid of this three-party system that exists in CD5 right now. We are built for Democrats versus Republicans, but we're not built for a progressive-leaning party that wants to strip away businesses, attack families, ruin our way of life, and introduce socialist Marxist agendas that will leave us without any remedies, without any answers, and a stressed out a district.
Hey, how about this? How about stop being a Republican? How about stop being a Democrat? How about stop being a progressive? How about start being a fucking American?
Oops.
Well, know what? This is what I'm saying. Beep, beep, beep. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know what? Here's the deal. Don't vote R. Don't vote D. Vote C. Take a chance. You certainly can't do any worse.
Absolutely.
You simply can't do any worse.
Absolutely. Hey, Cicely, we got two more minutes with you. And in these 2 minutes, I want to talk about, first of all, where can people donate to you? We do support you. We do endorse you. I want my sign, and I want a big one. I don't want a small one. I want a big
one. I'll bring you a big one. I'll bring you a big one.
I want a big sign.
And you can have a big sign as well.
And second of all, where can people donate to you? Websites? And then most important of all, how can people contact you personally?
Yeah. So if you go to CicelyDavis.com, CicelyDavis.com, C-I-C-E-L-Y, Davis.com. I'm also at CicelyDavisMN on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And so that's how you can get a hold of me. And here's what's really great. After Tuesday night, all the interests are pouring in for volunteers. People want to get involved to unseat this woman. It's been wonderful. You're absolutely welcome. I'm building an army for a street team. Please join me. We're also going to have fun at the state fair. I'm going to mob that place with a huge entourage. But if you go to CicelyDavis.com, that's how you can support. Do not make the mistake of seeing this race as just a local CD5 race. This is indeed a national race. If we unseat Ilhan Omar, we start the domino effect and we go at the other squad members and we work at getting our country back. CicelyDavis.com.
Okay, so listen, you know I've had your back since day one.
Yeah.
Be careful out there. All right?
Okay.
I got your back. Mm-hmm. We all have your back. But there's some bad characters out there that, you know, that don't like you. And this is, like you said, this is taking national attention. And I'm so proud and so happy that you're willing to come on the show. We have Scott Jensen and Matt Burke next Tuesday.
Yes.
So you upstaged the governor's race, little lady. You are number one on the plate. We would have had you Thursday night, but we had some issues going on. And
my mom ended up in ICU, Sicily. And I was just sharing the story earlier. The incompetency of the healthcare system. I guess what I would like to, the one thing that has shocked me through this whole process of caregiving of my mom, and sorry to insert this right now, but it is something that I wish our state leaders would start to take a look at, is I believe, and I've heard this many times, that since COVID, the healthcare system has changed so much because so many people have left healthcare and they've really left a different experience. And I'm experiencing firsthand the incompetency of what's left of our healthcare system. But anyways, that's why we didn't do the show. But Cicely, thank you so much for coming on the program. Hopefully you will share the show link. We'll get it to you after the probably tomorrow. And we'll be excited to meet you in person and get your sign and celebrate with you when you win your election.
Yeah, you're going to be on Odyssey. Our engineer, who's far more intelligent when it comes to tech than I will ever be, has got you shared on so many different platforms. This is going to be shared on a lot of platforms. I believe that there's 90,000 people that are directly listening to this at this moment. So your voice is being, we're doing our best to carry your voice, but we want to carry it so much more. We want to have one more interview with you prior to the election. We will be out there doing whatever we can. And like I said, get me my damn sign.
All right. That sounds good. We'll do. I'll say two large signs for both of you.
Awesome. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Evening. Bye-bye.
Wow. That was awesome.
It was amazing. Hey, can we get a booth at the state fair?
I think we're a little late on that game. You got to start that.
Can we state fair crash somebody's booth and just drag our equipment? And wouldn't that be awesome, though? I just thought of that.
We could set up out in front of Martha's Chocolate Chip Cookies and say, hey, get a free bucket of chocolate chip cookies. Listen to our podcast. Oh, wouldn't that be awesome? You know, come on, pimp my ride, you know. But seriously, that was an interview. And that this woman, I've met her. She called me up out of the blue.
I was going to say, how did you meet her?
Oh, it was really crazy. I was on a run. I was coming up from Lakeville. I was hauling some lumber and I get this strange phone call, and I never answer strange phone calls.
Oh, that's why you never answer mine.
No. Yours was one of the first ones I answered, you know, but I never answer ones that I don't know who are. And for some reason, I said, I'm going to answer this phone call. So what I did was I answered it, and she says, hey, this is Cicely Davis. I'm running for Congress. And I go, what do you got? I don't support anybody that isn't going to win. Royce solicited me, and I told him, I looked him right dead in the eye, and I said, you're not going to win. Why? Because your right-wing, ultra-Christian conservative message isn't going to fly in Minneapolis. But Cicely, let's talk Cicely. What do you got to do? What do you got that's going to win? Well, first she says, well, I'm a black woman with conservative values. And right there, I piqued my interest.
Right.
And I said, okay, all right. So tell me what you got. And she did. She laid it out. And I went, holy crap, Ola. And nope, don't need the button now, but we'll just get it anyway, just for fun. And I went, wow, listen to this. And this woman has it. The it. There, you know, it's kind of like Elvis had it. You know, right there and then, I knew I was speaking with somebody who got it. And we literally had an hour and 15-minute conversation that day talking about the different issues. Now, I have been pimping her. I was the whip at the Republican convention where I said to everybody, I said, listen, this is the only person that's going to beat Ilhan Omar. Why? Because she's out there knocking on doors every night. She's not.
And she's got an amazing presence about her. But it really does speak volumes. What I was saying is that the reason that she's getting the answers that she's getting is, and I've said this how many times, Trump changed the landscape of the political landscape. People want real answers. People want real leaders. People want change. And the reason... And
they don't want the shit.
No. And when Frey and Walz let Minneapolis burn, one of the first things that I said was that this was going to bring about a positive change to Minneapolis, because you can't let that level of lawlessness. Look, I used to love going to Uptown.
God, yeah.
I mean, I can't remember the restaurant on the corner right there where I used to.
Famous Dave's.
I guess back in the day, but I mean, it was a fun place to go to all the different restaurants and bars.
Oh,
and
God, yeah. Speaking of that Uber driver, Allie, said that was his moneymaker and he won't go down there anymore.
I left Roseville. It was about 5 o'clock and I had to go to North Memorial Hospital in Robbinsdale. So go from Roseville to North Memorial Robbinsdale. I let Navigation draw the route for me instead of going north 35 over 694 and then down 81, because I wanted to get there without dealing with all the extra driving. Parts of North Minneapolis that I saw at 5:30 in the evening daylight scared me, who's worked in the oil field of Williston, North Dakota, who's probably seen worse, but this was North Minneapolis.
Oh,
during the day.
Hey, a friend of mine borrowed my truck today, and my pickup truck. I drive a old 2004 Dodge Ram, not because I can't afford a new truck. It's because it's under those prehistoric DEF emissions things, so I don't have to do all that crap. So she borrows my pickup truck today to go buy a love seat that she wanted to buy. And I have a Bowie knife underneath the front console. And she goes, oh, I found your Bowie knife. And I go, cool, you didn't find the gun underneath the front seat? And she goes, oh, that would have been nice to know. And I go, well, I didn't know where you were going. You might have been going to North Minneapolis, you know. And that's where we're at, folks. We are living in a freaking combat zone.
And it's only going to backfire.
Yeah. And, you know, when we get real leaders in there, that say, you know what, you're not going to do straight races. You're not going to rape, pillage, and plunder. You're not going to riot. You're going to jail, and you're going to jail for a long time. Then we can stop this crap, you know? But enough of it. I've had, you know, what's the great line? I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
At least you didn't screech like Kane.
Yeah, no.
Tim Kaine. I forgot that he ran alongside Clinton in.
You actually said the name Clinton. That's a first.
Hildebeest.
Hey, by the way, how does she her house not get raided when she's missing 33,000 emails? Then you got, you know, they're saying no one is above the law. Oh, really? You're saying that Hunter Biden, you know, him and his laptop and all the other stuff, the big guy and his cocaine-infused bullshit, and he's over in Ukraine making deals. Nobody's above the law. My friggin'.
We got a higher
Dave. We got one now. What time? All right, we're on time this time. What do you think?
No, Dave, our producer here who's sitting in tonight, I think, Dave, you have to become part of the program because we're just not even keeping on top of the bleeper button. But anyways, we are coming up to the top of the hour. We just got about 4 minutes left. But no, I this is very encouraging. I literally was called a couple of weeks ago asking about the Ilhan Omar race and Cicely Davis, and I said we have a really strong chance of getting her out of office. And I think that, like Cicely said, this will send a signal nationally, and it will draw a lot of attention. Because ever since Omar got in office and started showing her favor of Islamification, and where her true alliance led to, including part of being part of the squab.
The squab? That's a freaking pigeon. Well, yeah, no, that's actually kind of fitting. A diseased animal that nobody wants around.
That's what I meant.
Not bad. Good catch.
Well, at least I was able to laugh towards the end of the show. And I don't mean to be a big drag tonight, but I got to say, the wind got knocked out of the sails. And when Little Yoga Hot Pants has been through so much, and I have said for a very long time, if it weren't for the grace of God, she wouldn't be here. And we had passed so many things, and we have so much ahead of us to be excited about. And guys, I literally, this gal, when she called and had this optimism to try and look for a place for her out in North Dakota, I want to finish by saying this. When Hot Pants went into the hospital the first two times, we were headed towards a journey to moving out to North Dakota for a new job opportunity. And I swear the excitement of North Dakota was the thing that carried her through the two hospitalizations. And yesterday when I asked her why she was so happy, she had heard me talking about considering the North Dakota position again, but this time it's back in the oil field. I've been torn because I can't leave her in a care facility here without me, because without me, I'm literally managing this program, and she's only going to be safe as long as I'm around. But when she heard me talking about bringing her out there, she brightened up and she said, "When do we leave?" And I asked her why she was so happy. She said, "Because you're getting the job that you want. You're going to be free and independent and finally really happy." And I said, "And you're going to be with me." Well, she's not, they over-medicated her. She's over-exhausted today. But the bigger part that really concerns me is I can no longer in clear conscience put her in a facility with any confidence that she's going to be given the care that she needs. And as I investigate this more, maybe there'll be another segment where maybe we get some real professionals in this industry, because it is really scary to me that these last three visits were avoidable, but because of the decisions and the aides and the people caring for, it's getting dangerous with my mom. And I know you're giving me the wrap up signal, but it is something that, I brought to the show tonight because there's.
I'll tell you what. This is what we're going to do. Next week, we have Matt Burke running for lieutenant governor, and we have Dr. Scott Jensen running for governor. They're going to be on Tuesday night. We're going to have them on. We're going to have one hell of an interview with them.
Yes,
and
we are.
I want you to do, get your questions ready, so maybe you could get these directed to Dr. Scott Jensen concerning our healthcare problem. And but then after that, maybe you could talk to some of these people at the healthcare facility. Maybe we get one of those on the show, and we can find out what the freaking problem is here. But that being said, that's where we're going to go. Tuesday night, we have Dr. Scott Jensen and former Viking center Matt Burke on. They're running for governor. We got to hear what they say. They're running against the most incompetent governor we've ever had in our lives.
Their race is neck and neck.
Neck and neck.
And Scott Jensen, this will probably be his seventh or eighth appearance on the show.
Yep. So there you go. All right, Bella, you got the last word. Bring it on down.
Well, thanks for shoring up, because I could have gone on and on and on. But anyways, this has been a great show tonight. Cicely Davis, Scott Jensen, Matt Burke. And do something before next week. Get out of your comfort zone a little bit. Start talking to people. Start asking people what they're seeing as far as the economy and their optimism and their hope leading into November in 2024. And I mean when you're standing in the gas station line, the subway line, the grocery line, wherever you are, or if you're sitting in a hospital like I am, because I think you'll be surprised by the everyday American who is no longer complacent and is starting to pay attention and is a little bit pissed and ready to make a difference. And that's what we got to do. Get up and go out and make a difference. And I'm going to say good night. God bless. God bless America. And ciao for now.